Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
My name is Niccolo Banfi, and I'm an explorer. I actually started 3 years ago because my career before was totally different. I was working in marketing in Milan, in Italy, for fashion, so a totally different thing. And then COVID came, and I had the time to reflect about myself, about my passions, about my life. And actually, I decided just to follow my passions. So photography, sailing, and the ocean. And so, was not easy at the beginning because, of course, there was not certainties about this. So I just embarked in on an old tall ship from the 1900s. And then from there, actually everything started. So I did the first crossing, the ocean crossing from Argentina to South Africa, 2 months crossing. And actually that thing completely changed my life. Because after that I came back and of course all my images and videos, they went very good in the medias. And so from there I created my own project.
Would you say in all of your explorations, and we're going to try and get through as many questions as possible, because I know it's kind of late for some of the kids in Eastern Europe and whatever. And we have a lot of students in Verona. I was just actually in Verona and in Milan a few months ago. Beautiful.
Oh, really?
Beautiful world. But of all of the different travels, is there like a moment or a place that kind of sticks out to you the most where you kind of have this epiphany like, wow, I'm right here in this moment at this time?
There are plenty of this, but if I have to decide one, I think it's the moment I landed in South Georgia. South Georgia is an island in the middle of the South Atlantic, because there was this like huge king penguin colony. Like they were like 120,000 couples. And was just incredible. Was like to be in a real, Nat Geo documentary. And then there actually you think, oh my God, we are nothing. Humans are nothing compared to the power of nature. And so that one was of the strongest moment.
So when you, you're in the most corner recesses of the world where, you know, in some places humans probably haven't even touched, and some of the areas that you're at, like, when is there a certain point where like fear takes over, or are you just like, because that adventurous spirit is a very rare thing, so what kind of emotions do you feel like when you're going out into Antarctica or into like Tristan da Cunha, like these like far places where there aren't people, like what emotions do you have?
It's not easy to explain, but I can say, especially when you are out in the ocean, in the Southern Ocean, especially when you have like crazy conditions, like 10 meters waves, 50 knots wind speed, or temperature like, I don't know, 0-5 degrees Celsius. So in those conditions, your body and your mind starts like, what's going on here? And then you start thinking, oh my God, why I decided to do this? Would be so nice to be at home on your comfortable bed. You have your toilet, your basics. A dish of pasta or something like this. No, you are in the middle of the Southern Ocean, shaking all the time. And you are got very tired because also on the ship you do like watches. So basically, you work all the time, in the night, in the day. So you have really a short time to relax. So your mind is very stressed, and sometimes it's really hard to continue in a good way. But at the end, I did it. And of course, and to be in Antarctica and these remote islands and regions, It's not it's of course there are amazing places, but of course you feel like you are like on the moon, you know, another planet, let's say.
I can't
You are
imagine.
completely connected. Yeah.
And another remote place was the Cook Islands. And could you tell, like, our listeners maybe like share a little bit about it's the Manahiki and the Rakahanga? Is that what that is?
Manihiki and Rakahanga, probably they are my favorite islands in general, because I spend there 3 4 weeks between the two islands, and they are actually two remote atolls in the northern group of the Cook Islands. So they're really far away from Rarotonga, which is the main one. They're like a 4 hours flight from there. So with the flight, I mean, is a big big word. I mean, this flight is like a short, a very small airplane, like 5 seats. So, and actually, they fly like just once every 2 weeks. So they're very remote islands, and they live there, 250 people divided in two villages, and they live with everything nature can give to them. They live with fresh water from the rain, coconuts, the fish. Of course, they go fishing every day. They have some pigs and chickens around, but that's it. I mean, they are happy to live like that. They have a couple of schools. There are like 30, 40 childrens. They're studying there. But apart from that, yeah, actually, it's just wild and untouched. No tourism at all. No tourism at all, of course. And so it was really a great experience.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit? In your 2024 expedition, you were sailing on a ship from the early 1900s. Like, how much more difficult? And I don't think the listeners and even myself, I mean, from what I was reading, it takes a toll on the human body to sail ships like that, right? Like, how do you prepare for that?
I mean, for in my case, I was already sailing since when I was very young here in the Mediterranean Sea, in Greece, Italy, but of course sloops, so just classic normal sailing. I mean, nothing compared to a tall ship with square sails. So on board was totally different, totally another world. Imagine that is a 56 meters length, so quite a long ship. And also, there are in total 32 sails, and it's all manual. So, teamwork is crazy important, and patience, teamwork, and of course, you have to think like the real explorers in the past were thinking. So, you are completely in another world, let's say.
So there's no Wi-Fi, is what you're saying when you're doing that. No.
I mean, there is for emergency, but of course you don't also you don't want to use Wi-Fi on board, because you are immersed in the ocean, and so you don't want to connect.
That's great to just, and I think that's important nowadays. I mean, to just disconnect and get more in
Of
tune.
course.
In touch with nature, and a lot of kids are kind of like that. I have a student in France just messaged, and they want to know what was the craziest expedition you have ever been on.
Oh yeah, the craziest was the Southern Ocean. Yes, from Argentina to South Africa, we passed through Antarctica, Elephant Island, South Georgia, Tristan da Cunha, and actually we passed through a real big storm. And I remember, yeah, already told you, like really crazy waves, and it was very cold outside in the night. Oh, it was crazy, really. And those regions like Elephant Island, Georgia, South Georgia, they are like, I don't know if you know Shackleton, the
Yeah.
explorer.
Ernest Shackleton, yeah.
And of course, we passed through these places, so it was really, I mean, was one of my heroes, let's say, and go there with the ship was at the same age of the Endurance, was like really special. And in those days, actually, they found the Endurance, the Agulhas II, the South African research vessel. They found the Endurance while we were there. So we were very lucky to see everything.
That must have been so meaningful for anyone. I mean, there's a lot of people out there, misconceptions. Are you able to stop in Antarctica and actually like, touch the land, or are there like international treaties and all that kind of stuff?
No, you can, of course. There are rules to land in Antarctica, but you can, of course, you can. But there are rules, so you must be with the. Follow the rules. For example, you cannot maybe sit down with your pants, and biosecurity is really important because there are pristine environment, and of course you do the clean up. You have to clean everything before landing, check everything, the shoes, the backpacks, everything, even the seats. You have to look for the seats. Because I can imagine if maybe I don't know a seed from a Mediterranean tree come to Antarctica, maybe in the summer, maybe when there is a sun, it can be dangerous because it can attack the environment, the ecosystem.
So it's more of like an ecosystem thing instead of like a political thing that
exactly exactly exactly.
And there's no like giant ice wall when you're down there or anything.
No, there are, but in summer actually you can go south quite okay. I mean, in the Antarctic Peninsula especially.
So we'll go with a couple more student questions. And my question that I want to ask you is, what are people's reactions when you get off the boat and you have a camera and they're in the most like furthest away places in these areas where there's not a whole lot of humans? What is the reaction when they see the camera come out?
But you mean the humans?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure the animals are just whatever, but you know, the humans.
In the islands, I mean, sometimes they already know before that I'm going there. So because, for example, in last year in the Pacific, Pitcairn and other places, I mean, I was in touch before because I wanted to be sure to meet the right people there for my project. And so they were actually okay. They were expecting me with a camera. But sometimes, of course, maybe especially the drone. The camera is okay. The drone is like, what is this? Yeah, sometimes can happen.
That's got to freak some people out. I mean, Pitcairn Island, I interviewed Miss Bonnie, who is the school teacher in Pitcairn Island, and they have two students. And that was last year, and it was just a fascinating tale.
I'm going back next year to Pitcairn. Yeah.
Well, if you see Miss Bonnie, tell her Ralph says hi.
I will.
There's not too many people there, but a beautiful place.
No.
I found it fascinating that on their school lunches, they just walk outside and eat breadfruit trees, like the breadfruit from the trees. But fascinating history with the HMS Bounty and all that. So before we let you go, and I ask this of all of our guests, what kind of advice, Nicola Banfi, would you have for these students as they go off into the world, whether they want to be an explorer or adventurer or just do something else? What kind of advice would you have for them about living life in this next chapter?
Oh, my advice, I can just say about my story. So, I mean, I started my career in another world, in the business marketing, and because I was like in a society. I was in Milan, where it's expected that someone must grow with a real path, a clear path in something. But then I realized that life is one and was too important to follow my dreams and my passions. Without certainties, of course, without knowing what is going to be, what it will be, but I decided to follow my passions. And I think if you start to follow your passions in a really good way with the resilience especially, some things can happen always, always, always. I mean, this is my story. So this is also my advice.
That's beautiful. And guys, you guys listening, you guys watching, definitely check out nicolobanfi.com. We will definitely have that website out for you guys to check out and keep up with his adventures. And Nicola, we can't thank you enough for spending some time with us today. And we can't wait to keep an eye on any more adventures that you have, man.
Thank you very much. It was a
Thank you,
real
guys.
pleasure. Thank
Ciao,
you.
ciao, grazie.
Thank you. Bye. Ciao, ciao.